Two phenomena that contributed to Maya collapses require more discussion: the roles of warfare and of drought. Maya warfare was intense, chronic, and unresolvable. The archaeological record shows that wars became more intense and frequent towards the time of the classic collapse. That evidence comes from discoveries of several types: excavations of massive fortifications surrounding many Maya sites, vivid depictions of warfare and captives on stone monuments, and the decipherment of Maya writing, much of which proved to consist of royal inscriptions boasting of conquests. Maya kings fought to take each other captive. Captives were tortured in unpleasant ways, depicted clearly on monuments and murals, such as yanking fingers out of sockets, pulling out teeth, cutting off the lower jaw, trimming off the lips and fingertips, pulling out the fingernails, and driving a pin through the lips, culminating, sometimes several years later, in the sacrifice of the captive in other equally unpleasant ways, such as tying the captive up into a ball, then rolling the captive down the steep stone staircase of a temple. Maya warfare involved several well-documented types of violence: wars between kingdoms, attempts of cities within a kingdom to secede by revolting against the capital, and civil wars, resulting from frequent violent attempts by would-be kings to usurp the throne. The other phenomenon important to understanding Maya collapses is the repeated occurrence of droughts. Based on studies of radiocarbon-dated layers from lake sediment cores, climatologists and paleoecologists conclude that the Maya area was relatively wet from about 5500 BC until 500 BC. The following period, from 475 to 250 BC, was dry. The pre-classic rise may have been facilitated by the return of wetter conditions after 250 BC, but then a drought from AD 125 until 250 was associated with the pre-classic collapse at El Mirador and other sites. That was followed by the resumption of wetter conditions and of the buildup of classic Maya cities. Finally, around 760, there began the worst drought in the last 7,000 years, peaking around the year 800, and suspiciously associated with a classic collapse. In the most naive form of the hypothesis that drought contributed to causing the classic collapse, one could imagine a single drought around 800 triggering the fall of all Maya centers simultaneously. Actually, the classic collapse hit different centers at slightly different times in the period 760 to 910, while sparing other centers. That fact makes many Maya specialists skeptical of a role of drought. But a properly cautious climatologist would not state the drought hypothesis in that oversimplified form. Finer resolution variation in rainfall from one year to the next can be calculated from annually banded sediments that rivers wash into ocean basins near the coast. These yield a conclusion that the drought, around 800, actually had four peaks, the first of them less severe: two dry years around AD 760, then an even drier decade around 810 to 820, three drier years around 860, and six drier years around 910. Interestingly, collapse dates vary among sites and fall into three clusters, in agreement with the dates for the three most severe droughts. The area most affected by the classic collapse was the southern lowlands, probably because it was the area with the densest population and lay too high above the water table for water to be obtained from cenotes or wells when the rains failed. The southern lowlands lost more than 99% of their population in the course of classic collapse. How did such a huge population of millions of people disappear? We infer that some people survived by fleeing to the northern Yucatan, where a rapid population increase took place around the time of the Maya collapse. Some of that population decrease surely involved people dying of starvation or thirst, or killing each other in struggles over increasingly scarce resources. The other part of the decrease may reflect a slower decrease in the birth rate or child survival rate over the course of many decades. To summarize the classic Maya collapse, we can tentatively identify five strands. One strand consisted of population growth outstripping available resources, a dilemma being played out today in Rwanda, Haiti, and elsewhere. Compounding that mismatch between population and resources was the second strand, the effects of deforestation and hillside erosion, which caused a decrease in the amount of usable farmland at a time when more farmland was needed. The third strand consisted of increased fighting, as more and more people fought over fewer resources. Maya warfare peaked just before the collapse. Bringing matters to a head was the strand of climate change. The drought at the time of the classic collapse was not the first drought that the Maya had lived through, but it was the most severe. The landscape was full, and the whole population could not be accommodated in the few areas that continued to have reliable water supplies. As our fifth strand, we have to wonder why the kings and nobles failed to recognize and solve these seemingly obvious problems undermining their society. Their attention was evidently focused on their short-term concerns of enriching themselves, waging wars, erecting monuments, competing with each other, and extracting enough food from the peasants to support all those activities. Like most leaders throughout human history, the Maya kings and nobles did not heed long-term problems insofar as they perceived them.